This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You know the other thing about the prank call real quick? And I guess there were three of them, three prank calls?
Yeah, there were a bunch. There was Tyler Warren, the tight end, got prank called, someone claiming to be the Jets. And they said that was from either at least the same area code, maybe the same phone number as the one that pranked Shadur. And then the kid from Texas, the receiver Isaiah Bond, who said he was going to run the fastest 40 at the combine, went undrafted and got a call saying he was getting drafted. That kind of stinks.
Ouch. Well, at least with the Shadur one, because it's so high profile. I got to tell you, man, to have the balls to do that,
what's going to happen to you, though?
I kind of respect it. Look, it's a douchey move, okay? Yeah. But like somebody said on the text line, and I think it's the right way to say it, you shouldn't do it, but you can't not do it. You got the phone number. Dad left the phone number right there on the computer. You're a 22-year-old dip-ass. Of course you're going to do that. And to actually follow through on it and say, well, you're going to be waiting a little longer, I'm sorry, I chuckled. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, God, that's real bad for Shadur. Like, I kind of felt bad for him. But at any rate, not outraged about that. Our NBA bubble bath is coming up next. While I was away, something happened in the NBA playoffs that had never happened before. But we were talking about Quinn Ewers, and he goes to the Dolphins. And I don't remember a quarterback that went, seemingly, I'm sure there are, but like he was at one point thought of as like maybe the top pick. I don't remember one falling to this level of, and I guess Sanders falls into this category too, but he's kind of a lightning rod. Quinn Ewers is not. Quinn Ewers is just kind of a meh to people now.
Yeah, why is that?
Like Sanders is polarizing,
yeah,
and there's a racial element and there's his dad and there's this whole thing. But with Ewers, he went from, man, this guy could be really good. Will he come back to college? Versus he's like in Riley Leonard territory now. Nobody cares.
Well, I think part of it is that he was supposed to be the guy, but his play was sporadic enough throughout the season that he was benched for Arch Manning at one, like for his backup
this last
at one
year?
Point. Yeah.
Did he get benched?
It didn't last long. It was like 1 point in one game, and then Sark went back to
him.
That's
right, he did.
But everyone was like, "Whoop! Now the Pandora's box is open. What happens now? We've seen Arch."
And then
like,
he went back to Ewers.
Yeah,
and they went all the way to the semifinals.
Yeah.
And I get it. Watching him in college, it wasn't like he was. I mean, he certainly was. I don't want to say shaky. I mean, he's a good college quarterback. He just you didn't really have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
When push came to shove, but he's going to the Dolphins. But I saw that, so he was picked number 231, which that pick over 4 years in the NFL, he'll make $4.3 million. They're saying he could have gotten $3 million alone for one season going back to college in the portal. All he needed to do was transfer.
Yeah, and that's
because Arch was going to get the nod this year.
Right.
So why, like, I wonder if we will start to see guys who get a better sense of this and they stay in school. Seriously.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're below,
if you're a middling to lower end prospect,
yes,
and you don't have real,
but you're an elite college quarterback,
right, and you don't have a real shot of making millions of dollars in the pros. Like,
that's always going to be
there for
saying,
him. Like, they were saying, considering what Carson Beck got, that Ewers could have commanded like $5 or $6 million from somebody, yeah, maybe. And he's going to make like
$4.3 million over 4 years.
Yeah.
Being drafted where he was.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
and you could get that in one season.
Well, and the other thing too is that one season could, you could play really well and catapult you to a lot more money, right, than the 4.3 over 4 years.
Because you know your stock right now isn't great. Otherwise, I mean, you would have known if your stock now was high enough that that's the right thing for you. But yeah, I mean, clearly you could make more money and maybe develop more staying, but maybe you also think you've hit your ceiling and then you're exposing yourself to injury. So it's a potential to derail.
Injury.
I don't know.
I'm with you. So Nemec was in here on Thursday, and he threw this out. Like, he likes to do this. And I meant to ask him today, but he gave me a few off the air Thursday, so I'll spit those out. But his thing is, he loves to bet the draft. And he bets the draft on the Monday after the draft.
Yeah, I'm sure he already has a handful of picks in for 2026.
He said he had 70 or 80 bets on the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And yes, he probably already has a handful for next year's draft. And what he does is, because this time last year, Shedeur Sanders was like, oh, he's going to be the number one guy. And what Nemec does, since he really studies these guys and he studies film. And by the way, do you know Nemec's story about how he became sort of a talent evaluator in football?
No.
It's actually a really good story. I don't know if he's...
Or maybe I do, and I'm just not recalling it, but do tell.
I don't know if he's told it on the air, but hopefully I'm not like stepping on anyone's toes here. He didn't want this out there, but I mean, Andrew Nemec lives to break down film of.
He loves it. It's
individual.
It's his
players.
It's like a hobby.
Yeah, he said that started because his dad was a coach and he lost his job or something or quit or something. And the way he and his dad hung out was they would just go all around the state and the region to watch high school games and look at players. He was like, all I want to do is see the best players. And that kid's been evaluating talent since he was like 8 years old. It's in his DNA. It's his blood. Anyway, he breaks it down and he looks at it and he says, well, okay, it's not going to be Shedeur because I've watched Shedeur and I break down the film. So then he takes the long shot bets on who he thinks it will be based on the talented guys. So I know that this year, so I'm looking at the odds. The odds on favorite is Arch Manning to be the number one pick next year. And he seems to think, Nemec, that Arch Manning, he's probably going to go back to Texas. If you look at the Manning way, they're not going to rush him to the NFL. So he doesn't think Arch Manning will be the number one pick. So who do you bet on? I know he said he took Drew Aller.
Wow.
He took...
Drew Aller sucks.
He's
got the pro tangibles.
Yes.
But like if... Yeah.
But see, that's the whole point. Although the whole point is, you know, these are kind of long shot bets.
Well, and you're getting early odds, yeah.
Aller is only plus 220, which I thought was weird. Garrett Nussmeier he took, I think, at 4-1. And the one I liked was Cade Klubnik. He's 18-1. You can get him 18-1 right now.
Okay.
If he has a good year for Clemson, he's one of the top college quarterbacks. Maybe he jumps up there. Other names on there, Caleb Downs, 25-1. Jeremiah Smith is 10-1. Carson Beck, 33-1.
Yeah, that's burn your money if you want to make that bet.
Yeah. But that's how Nemec does it. And by the way, I did that story of his No Justice. It's a longer story that I hope at some point he tells on the air because it's a good story about how he got into what he does. At any rate, Dylan Gabriel is back in the news because he was drafted by the Browns and so was Shedeur. So now we've got, what do they have? Flacco?
Well, they have an injured Deshaun.
Yeah, they have Watson, but he's hurt.
Yeah, they have Flacco. They have Kenny Pickett. They have Shedeur and they have Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. Who wins that battle?
Right now,
none of them.
Right now, there's already Vegas odds on who will start first
for
the Browns, and Pickett is the favorite.
Okay,
followed by Shedeur, followed by Gabriel, followed by Flacco. Flacco is like the longest shot.
Oh,
and I think Watson's still injured. So
yeah, Pickett's probably Yeah. Well, when's Watson back? I can't keep up on Watson's injuries. I don't know when he's back and what ended up happening with him, but he's their starter for how much they're paying him. I kind of thought Flacco might be their quarterback.
I thought so too.
If it's not one of the rookies. But we have to revisit this because it's popping back up. So we have a drop here.
Yeah. Let's do that.
That's Dylan Gabriel when he was at...
it was a Rose Bowl press availability before
yes,
the playoffs.
And he sounded high.
And it was in the morning, so people are saying wake and bake.
Yeah, and Brenna Green was the local reporter who was interviewing him, and she said, oh, give him a break. He's just tired. He'd done a lot of interviews and stuff. So anyway, we're going to replay that because it's interesting that he was drafted by Cleveland, a cold weather team.
We love the Rose Bowl. We love warm weather. I think we should play more football on nice grass instead of our artificial stuff. And the more sun, the better. Why do we do it to ourselves? Like, do fans want to sit in the snow and the rain? And let's just make arenas. Let's make domes. Let's do grass. Let's do more fireworks at games. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, all right. So, first of all, if you keep winning, you get domes the next two games. So
I love that.
Did you know that?
I do, or now I do.
Now you do.
But let's continue that evolution. So I think that's important.
I think what I'm really hearing right now is that every football game should be played in Hawaii.
Wouldn't that be unreal? I don't think anyone would be mad at it, you know. But maybe just the travel or the travelers. That's tough. But let's find more sun. Let's find more sun.
But can I just say, first of all, that doesn't really sound like how I think Dylan Gabriel would sound.
Yeah.
And second, he did sound baked as hell.
Yeah, sure did.
But his,
working
you know,
on the puff pass.
Now that he's been drafted in Cleveland, of course, that interview has resurfaced because he doesn't like playing in cold weather and he likes warm weather. Although I just saw that the Commanders' new stadium where the old RFK is going to be a dome. Did you see that?
I saw someone ask if it was going to be called RFK Jr.
Okay. Cute. A little...
But yeah, the renderings are sweet because...
It's a dome, right?
It is a dome, but they have like a glass wall side of it. And the way that the stadium is oriented, if you're sitting at one end facing the other end zone, like you look all the way down the mall. You see like the Washington Monument and everything. It's
oh,
got
cool.
like sight lines of the Capitol. It's pretty cool.
All right. But that being a dome, I think I read today that over half the league will play in a dome once all the new stadiums are built. And I mean,
wow.
The ones that are being planned right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but is Dylan Gabriel onto something? Like, why play outdoors when you may not...
When you control your conditions?
Yeah, well, you may not have to. Like, will we look back on a time when it's wild to think that football was played outdoors in the
elements?
I can't
believe we ever did that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, we could get to that time.
But we're also still in the time right now where some indoor stadiums have crappy grass because they don't know what they're doing. Like, we've gone over, like, the sod father guy and the thing at the Arizona stadium where they have the grass outside, but then they bring it inside, and then it sweats and players slip. And then, like, it seems like even those who have identified maybe indoors better, some haven't even been able to pull it off. So we may be still further away from that, but at the same time, it does seem like we're trending in that direction.
Well, and not only that, but I think that these leagues, they really need to be careful about turning people off with their experience, their game experience, in-game experience, you know? And, I mean, if you want to make it comfortable for your fans, you'd want it inside, particularly in Cleveland.
Well, among the many knocks of the new, or I guess newer, 49ers Levi's Stadium down in Santa Clara, they said it's too flipping hot. That like in the middle of the day in September in the South Bay, the home fans just freaking bake out there. And like, why would you want to go stand in that?
Candy-ass fans.
That's right.
Well, I mean, like in the NFL, it's still a culture of, you know, like the dog pound and all these dumbasses take off their shirts. And But really, I mean, I think the vast majority of fans don't want to sit in that.
No.
They would rather sit in a nice air-conditioned stadium.
I know it's classic, but if you told the fans of Green Bay they didn't have to pull out their deer hunting gear
right.
to go to a playoff game at Lambeau,
right.
they'd probably take it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe Dylan Gabriel's ahead of his time. At any rate, I'm guessing they're making a big deal out of that in Cleveland. And do the Steelers get Kirk Cousins? do you think the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers? The Steelers got to do something. They're sitting there with Mason Rudolph right now.
Yeah, and Will Howard.
Well, they did draft Will Howard, but he's not going to be their starter.
To me, it feels like if the Rodgers thing, I mean, I don't have any basis for this, but I feel like if the Rodgers thing were going to happen, it would have happened. So what is it then?
Well, I heard it was Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck was on some show this morning, and he said he could only, he said, it leads me to believe that Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers are going to get this done. One, they didn't draft a quarterback. Well, they did draft Will Howard, but they didn't draft a starting quarterback. That's a development player. And he said he thought that perhaps Rodgers told them not to.
Which is a hell of a thing to do if you haven't even signed to play with the team.
Yeah, in other words, they're like trusting that Rodgers is going to sign. And so
what a bad game of chicken to play.
And he didn't want it. Well, yeah. But that's what Hasselbeck, I mean, that's coming from Matt Hasselbeck.
No, I know. It just, yeah.
Not me.
What a situation.
But yeah, I don't know. I think at worst, Kirk Cousins could be out. Well, no, worst is Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback in Pittsburgh, and it's another lost season. But even if they don't get Rodgers, which I still think would be good for Pittsburgh, not great, but good.
Better than Mason Rudolph.
Yes. Kirk Cousins is out there. You can make a trade for him, too.
If you were a Steelers fan, would you rather have Cousins or Rodgers?
Ooh. I mean, Cousins didn't look... I'd probably rather have Cousins.
I think so. I think I would, too. He seems like less of a headache.
Well, he's a good leader.
And Rodgers hasn't...
And he was slinging it towards the end of the year, wasn't he? Like, he was rough at the first.
Well, he got replaced by Penix at the end of the year, didn't he? Because
he was turning it over a lot, but I thought he was, I don't know. I thought maybe he was improving.
I think he started out okay and then really faded on him. But I mean, those idiots gave him a 4-year, $100 million deal.
But Rodgers is, he's not that great.
I know. And he doesn't have that many reps in the last 2 years because of the Achilles thing.
And he's a donkey.
And he's a total pain in the ass.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have Cousins, but
I would rather have Cousins.
You like that? You like that?
We like that. My favorite sprint try, Clydesdale.
Relax.
Right over there pushing the buttons. All right. Let's get to the NBA bubble bath. A couple of NBA items. You know, these playoffs have been pretty good. Pretty interesting.
Playoffs?
We'll get to that next before the club on the fan.